Well, as they say in professional broadcasting, is this thing on? It appears to be on. I'm also late, but it appears to be on. It is about 12 minutes past the hour here in the Central Standard Time Zone. That means it's 12 minutes past 4 p.m. And this is, in fact, the horn. And this program is, for at least as long as I can manage it to be, you know, live. Which is a good thing. I'm testing out microphones here, too. But, let's start this thing the right way, shall we?
It's showtime.
And it most assuredly is. Hi, I'm Robin, and we were not on air yesterday. Today is Tuesday. It is the 21st day. I was looking at it's 13 past the hour. Today is the 21st day of December 2021. It's my favorite day of the year. It is my favorite day of the year because it is the winter solstice. We are done with short days. No, not done with short days, but we are done with shortening days. Tomorrow and every day after until the summer solstice, the days will grow progressively longer. And that just, I'm very much attuned to that. So though the weather will get colder in the northern hemisphere, the days will also get longer. And so there will be more sunlight. And that means my being will be somewhat considerably happier. And by the way, early on, program note, if this all falls apart, then so be it. Because if there were actual truth in advertising laws, Verizon would never be allowed to run another one of those stupid "Can you hear me now?" ads, or claim that their wireless internet was unlimited, because at least here in this little corner of Northwest Alabama, Verizon wireless internet is nothing if not limited. So we're running tenuously on the hotel Wi-Fi and hoping for the best. Ugh, I mean, we had problems with Verizon's wireless internet in Birmingham. We're having it here. Maybe it just doesn't work. I don't know. But I wanted, like I said, I wanted badly to be on the air because I wanted to update you all on my status and how things are going. And God, I'm trying to remember how to get into the chat room. But anyway, I apologize for not being in the chat room, but that was just one more tech hurdle that I really just couldn't cope with today. But, you know, another day. It's so funny. I'm just used to punching the button and being in the chat. I have no freaking idea what my password is. So we'll have to sort, like I said, we'll have to sort that out at another time. But nonetheless, just a quick update. We vacated the little apartment in Birmingham yesterday. I'm not much use at heaving and hauling and doing right now because of, you know, doctor's orders, no lifting, that kind of thing. So Annette absolutely busted her butt over the last few days. I mean, she cleaned that apartment until you could, if there was a speck of dust or dirt left in it, she found it and eliminated it. I mean, she was amazing. And so she packed the car, and yesterday, God, never a dull moment, we've had some adventures. It was last week that she was cooking, and she was actually touching the I don't mean the hot part, but she had her hand on the range and reached up to, like, turn on the vent for the, and got a dose of electricity through her twice. So we called the property management company, and they were, and they, what? And so then and she was quite the Karen, really, blonde, probably late 30s, early 40s, showed up in a Jaguar F-Type SUV, and went wandering through and stood outside my closed door like she desperately wanted to go in and have a look at whoever was in there. And then she explained to Annette that her electrician would be coming by, and she said, now everybody who's here wants to be here, but you know he's one of them Mexicans, and you might have to use sign language with him. And Annette's telling me this, and I'm like, what? They're sending sign language? Like, you got to spell words into his palm like it's the miracle worker or something? Well, so that, yeah, and she was very much a Christian, absolutely, definitely a Christian. And so she left, and the electrician showed up, and Annette said, hello, and he said, hello. And you know, he had a Hispanic accent. They got on fine. They didn't have any troubles communicating. Nobody had to do any hand jive or hand signals or anything like that. Am I getting this right, honey?
She said he was Latino.
She said he was Latino. And didn't know much English. Well,
and he was very nice. His sons were very nice, and Mama no longer gets
zzz. Yeah. He said, oh, no, no, Mama gets zzz. And Annette said, no, I don't want to get zzz. And so he fixed the stove. So we got, no, we did not get loaded out. Annette loaded us out. And then we took one last turn through. So we did one last turn through the apartment, made sure that everything was squeaky clean. We did all the laundry, we did all the bed linens, she did, Annette did. All the laundry, all the bed linens, all the towels and washcloths and everything was perfect. And under gray skies, and with me feeling a little bit of trepidation at driving, so you know, driving about 150 miles, we got in the car. I looked at her. She looked at me. I said, "Let's roll, Griggsy," and put my foot on the brake and pushed the little button to start the car. And click, 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 click. Battery was stone dead. And again, I looked at Annette, and Annette looked at me, and she said, now, it's going to be okay. I said, oh, it's going to be great. So we called roadside assistance from the insurance company, and they sent a wonderful guy to give us a jump, and he showed up in about 20 minutes. Nice, nice guy. And as he left, he said, I hope you let ladies have a lovely trip and happy and Merry Christmas. And that was all I could ask for. It was wonderful. And so with the car running and planning on never stopping it for the rest of the day, we headed up I-65 to Cullman, picked up 157, which was a nice, empty four lanes of highway that was just an absolute joy, and got here because we had been delayed, got here after airtime, so that's why there was no program yesterday. Hey, and so I've been working on trying to get the program out all day long, well, actually since last night, and Verizon's vaunted, you know, wireless internet, and it's not like we're out in the hinterlands. I mean, this is a metropolitan area of some 100,000 people, and Verizon, let's just say it, sucks. But no amount of time on the line with Gracie in tech support. Have you turned your phone off and turned it back on? Oh, Jesus. I guess that's the replacement for, can you turn the router off and turn it back on? Well, there's no white router. Can you turn the phone off? I don't know. I've never turned it off before. I was rather afraid. So that's kind of my world right now, our world. But did get to stop at my favorite barbecue joint yesterday. It's usually the first place I go to eat when I get to the Shoals, Dick Howell's Pit Barbecue. Hot dogs and pulled pork sandwich. Wonderful. And we popped into Mr. Hui's, a Chinese place. Lovely people. And Annette got her favorite dish, Singapore rice noodle. And all in all, it was a pleasant little evening. After dark fell, we drove downtown to the little park in the middle of town that was all lit up with Christmas lights and the old historic home district. Everybody decorated their places, and that was pretty. Then we came back here, and it was just quiet and peaceful and pleasant until I began to realize there was going to be internet problems. And there are internet problems. But so far, the program is getting out. Randy Radar says, it's the car's security system that drains the battery after disuse. Well, the car was not disused. It sat idle for about a week while I was in, 2 weeks. But Annette was going out and starting it. No, I think what happened is probably the dome light or something got bumped when one of us got in or out, and neither one of us noticed, and it drained the battery. Because when we got here, we ran to a car parts place and got the battery and the alternator tested, and they are both in fine form. So that was reassuring. All told, not been too bad. And so the plan now is we'll be home by or shortly after, like the day after Christmas. And we walked around downtown a little bit today. It's gray and cloudy. And frankly, a bit cold. But not too bad. And we laughed and had a good time. Laughed a lot. And that's absolutely convinced that these people down here cannot operate an automobile and probably shouldn't. And that's not a hill I'm going to die on, because I kind of agree. They can't drive, can they, honey? You heard that. But anyway, I've gotten so far out ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn usually begins with gratitude. And this program is no different, even though I was late to the mic and kind of just generally late all the way around. But I need to send thank yous out. That's how we keep the program on the air. You know that, of course. If you'd like to help out, the interface is at headon.live. And so thank you over the last few days to Harold, president and CEO of Sotstris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Harold. And thanks as well to Billable Rick for his challenge of a few days back. Thank you to Vincent. Thank you to Ralps. Thank you to Reverbo, the human man. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you so very much. Thank you to Sharon. And thank you to Darlene in Connecticut, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. Thank you to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. And again, thank you to Charlene. Thank you to our dear friend in the South Pacific. And thank you to Grace. Thank you so much, Gary and Gaia. That pretty much gets us caught up. Thank you. So it leaves us with a fundraising goal of about $1,550. just trying to keep up until I can get home and we get the broadcast schedule back into a more normal, to the extent that it's more than the setting on a dryer, a normal routine, and get all settled in back in the home studio. And anything we could do to knock that number down would be wonderful. I anticipate if we can get this program out today, for as long as I can go, if we can do that, then we should be doing programs tomorrow and Thursday, and we'll see, and we'll see about a Friday on the front porch for Christmas Eve, and then the weekend. And to the extent that anybody who celebrates Christmas or any of these holidays, I hope you're having a. Thank you to an anonymous friend who provided roughly the equivalent value of 3 tanks of gas to get home on. That was, well, that's critically important, and I included that in the fundraising goal. Thank you so much. So anyway, hopefully we'll knock some of that down, and it would be wonderful if we could. The first portion of the Fiddle Robster has engendered some comments. Christopher out in Oregon says, Mexican sign language, do that crazy hand jive. So wait, your electrician was the Mexican pinball wizard? No. No, it's just that the Karen made him sound that way. And the funny thing was, she pulled up right after we found out our battery was dead. And I got out of the car thinking I would do what, hey, you got any jumper cables? And she took one look at me, and you would have thought she had seen the devil herself. Agreed?
Well, she wasn't talking to me either.
I mean, I said, hi. She said, hey, and went the other way. As quick as she could possibly go. Flavio says, the apartment Karen. So Flavio says, so she was a Christian and a bigot, but I repeat myself. Yes, that's from Flavio operating from the Department of Redundancy Department. And adding, it's not just Verizon, it's practically every telco in this country, because frankly there's hardly any regulation here, unlike in the EU where all telcos, all companies really, are heavily regulated. It's amazing. It was like that in Brazil, too, thoroughly unregulated in the Wild West. Yeah, and what they all do is they all oversell their capacity. It's kind of like the same way that airlines overbook flights, and then somebody winds up getting screwed. Sign language? Stephen New York says, just be glad she didn't say you'd have to speak Latin because he's Latino. Yeah, that's the Dan Quayle moment, you know. Remember when Dan Quayle was vice president of the United States and everybody prayed for the safety of George H.W. Bush every day? Because the idea of having Dan Quayle be president of the United States was absolutely too much of a horror to contemplate. Yeah, he was being sent and he said, you know, I wish I'd studied Latin harder now that I'm going to Latin America. Yeah, I know. And so, we'll talk a little bit, if you want, about COVID. What seems to be on everybody's mind these days, unfortunately, is the senior senator from West Virginia, Queen Jo Manchin, Queen of America. I had a note from Dave and the Blind, hanging out with the boys down at the Emporium. Happy solstice, Robin. This morning I played Here Comes the Sun. I'm now drinking something with Sir Henry Morgan on it. Sounds like a lovely idea for the solstice. As Randy Radar said, the solstice, the sun's warmth will return when we need it the most. Amen. Hear, hear. Had a note from Joey and Giraffe. On this day, back in 1860, South Carolina became the first state to secede from the United States, which eventually prompted the start of the Civil War with the attack on Fort Sumter. With a civil comment, here's Jeffrey.
What are the chances we could get states like South Carolina to secede once again? That way we could get rid of the likes of Lindsey the Graham Cracker and Trey the Gout Gowdy.
Well, Trey Gowdy's already out of government.
Whatever happened to Trey Gowdy anyway? Did the people of South Carolina vote to get the gout out?
No, he quit and got a much better gig with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda or Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Junior has an answer, and is it
no, Daddy, Trey Gowdy left to pursue a legal career in place of the illegal career he had in Congress harassing Hillary. His harassment of Hillary really was criminal, in my opinion.
That Junior's coming right along.
Actually, Trey Gowdy did not run for Congress because he knew he'd be defeated after clearly stating that Russia interfered with the 2016 election. Trey went against the Trumpers, and he would have been trounced in 2018, which led the way for a new senator named Tim Scott.
Well, no, not exactly. Trey Gowdy was never a member of the Senate of the United States.
But speaking of Tim Scott, the three of us, Junior, Joey, and I, find it very interesting that Senator Tim Scott, following the death of his cousin Walter Scott, has proposed legislation that would help people such as Walter Scott, who was chased down by a cop following a traffic stop and shot in the back by a rogue North Charleston, South Carolina cop.
Daddy, Walter Scott was shot, but he wasn't related to Tim Scott. The cop probably was not a member of the KKK, and that cop received 20 years for his crime when he should have received life or been executed for the execution of Walter Scott.
Good job, Junior. You're paying attention. Ironically, Tim Scott introduced legislation called the First Stop Act that focused on the police shooting death of Walter Scott in 2015. The eponymously named legislation called the Walter Scott Act, if passed, would require states receiving federal law enforcement funding to keep track of a number of data points for each officer-involved shooting. Such data points include names, descriptions of the event, race, and overall circumstances that led up to an officer's weapon being discharged. States that fail to comply with this legislation could face a 10% reduction in federal grant funding. The shooting received national attention after a video showed Walter Scott was shot in the back after trying to flee a traffic stop initiated by a broken brake light. Slager pleaded guilty to violating Walter Scott's civil rights in 2017 as well.
Gosh, I think just think if Trey Gowdy was not in Congress harassing Hillary and demanding bogus documents from the Obama administration, he might have still been a prosecuting attorney in North Charleston and would have thrown the book at Slager. But no, Trey was betraying the country with his ridiculous, endless pursuit of Hillary in the Obama presidency.
Senator Tim Scott also proposed the Fair Step Act, a bipartisan effort aimed at curbing recidivism and, in Scott's words, aiding those behind bars by helping them transition back into civilian life. Scott, the junior senator from South Carolina, was an original sponsor of this bill. Scott's plan would cut recidivism, encourage job training and mental health and substance abuse treatments for incarcerated individuals.
I only wish they would not call him the junior senator. He does not deserve to be a junior.
Junior's a little touchy that way. Oh, good job, Jeffrey and Junior. You're spot on this one. Or should I say Scott on? Looks like Urban Meyer won't get the contract extension he was pursuing. Yes, Meyer had the nerve a few weeks ago to ask for an extension on his multi-year deal with the Jaguars based in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, there will be no urban renewal in Jacksonville. Oh, my God.
Should have seen that in coming.
Nor in any other part of Florida either.
Oh, good job, Jeffrey. Good job. Speaking of Florida, a senator named Scott and Urban Renewal, both senators in Florida, also voted against the Build Back Better plan. Well, not really, because there has never been a vote on the Build Back Better plan. Yeah, I don't even know that it's actually been introduced. It's all just been talked about. Of course, one of the Florida senators just happens to be named Scott. Yep, Senator Rick Scott, also known as Skeletor, who should be in jail for orchestrating the largest Medicaid insurance fraud in this country. Mm-hmm. Finally, there's more on Monday. Yesterday, Doug Erickson, attempting to blame the fact that he caught COVID-19 while he was in El Salvador, stating that he could not get the monoclonal antibodies treatment while he was in El Salvador.
Somebody should have informed Erickson that he could have gotten vaccinated completely back in the good old USA long before he left for El Salvador. Yeah. Trying to blame it on El Salvador is going from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Well, besides,
says Junior,
I thought they always blamed it on Rio. Because for Erickson to try and to blame this on El Salvador is just ridiculous. Ah. Oh, that boy's coming right along.
Yes, and now this former House Rep Erickson is Rio dead. All because he simply would not get a vaccine. Hope it was worth it, Congressman.
Hey, now everybody get vaxxed. Now.
This has been Joey's Journal for More and Monday, the 20th of December, and Titanic Tuesday, the 21st of December, with Giraffe getting his booster. $25. Blame it on Rio challenge. So if we could, if somebody would like to kick in $25, Jeffrey and Joey and Junior will all, well, they will happily double that $25, and we'll be down to only $1,500 to go to get caught up, and that would be grand. As to Joe Manchin, Flavio offers, what a capital asshole. He actually sent an aide to tell Biden he was saying no to Build Back Better from inside Fox Studios an hour before he was to go on air, and they were dolling him up. Asshole. Oh, there's so many different ways to, you know, Joe Manchin, how do we loathe thee? Let us count the ways. And it's just been a steady litany of Joe Manchin rottenness and really some pretty dim bulb stuff. But I think maybe I can clear some of this up along the way. First of all, what Flavio says is absolutely correct. He made his announcement on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda because I guess he figured that's the network that most West Virginians watch. And he might, as far as news is concerned, he might very well be correct. So, there's that. But, secondly, it was the idiotic statements, the idiotic lengths that he was willing to go to prove his bona fide, his conservative fiscal bona fides, eventually announcing that, well, he opposed the emergency child tax credit extension, direct cash payments. He opposed those because, well, he was afraid that the poors getting that money would go out and spend it on drugs. Annette and I were talking about that last night. What did you say, dear? Oh, I know what it was. She said, I don't know how they're going to be able to spend it on drugs when you have to consider how much a power bill is.
Yeah. Which he has investment
in. And of course, he's heavily invested in coal, which is what we use for most of the power in West Virginia.
Since he's such an avid hunter.
And he's an avid hunter. Remember, he has shot an innocent little piece of paper tacked to a tree in the past. You might recall what that bill was. That was the Waxman-Markey bill, you know, to deal with cap and trade, climate change, things like that. It actually had bukus of billions of dollars of corporate welfare built into it for the coal industry, just to make it palatable. But no, Joe Manchin pinned that thing to a tree and blew it away. Shot it down in cold pulp. Ooh, proud of that one. But no, to get that, so he was also worried that extra money might be used by people to go hunting. He said that too. He's worried about the poors of using drugs and people going on hunting trips. He really said that out loud, or he said it to people who then reported it to the media. Afraid they'd go hunting and get high. Because, you know, that's such a great combination if you think about it. Hey, y'all, let's take some high-powered rifles and go running around in the woods and get wasted. Mm-hmm. That just sounds delightful, doesn't it? And that, of course, is the degree to which Joe Manchin is absolutely divorced from
the realities of working people's lives. You remember long time ago, one of the things that sort of helped to seal Pappy Bush's fate and his one-term presidency was when America found out that he had no idea how much a gallon of milk cost, nor did he have any idea what a barcode scanner was. Barcode scanners had been in grocery stores for a while by then, and George H.W. Pappy Bush didn't know what one of them were. Not even. And that sort of told America how thoroughly out of touch he was with, you know, with life, you know, ordinary working class life in the country. How many times do you think Joe Manchin has sat down and paid a power bill in the last 20 years? Can I get an amen for never? Ever? That's what accountants are for. They get them, you send them the money, they pay your bills, and there you go. I mean, Gail's not his wife. Gail Connolly Manchin, she's not out there writing the checks. Maybe that's it. Maybe Joe and Gail are on the outs, because one of the things that he put the shiv to by saying he wouldn't support Build Back Better was more money for the Appalachian Regional Commission, which Gail heads. Yeah. And then there was that thing where he said, you know, people think that maybe they can just bully me, and if they put enough political pressure on me and they hold enough protests and rallies and stuff, that I'll just give in because I'm just one senator. Well, I'm not that kind of senator. I'm from West Virginia, and we're not like those people. Those people. Those people, the entire United States of America, Joe Manchin did, those people. Well, I'm actually more West Virginian by a couple of hundred years than Joe Manchin will ever be. Not to brag or anything, but a big chunk of my family was here before there was a state of West Virginia, or a state of Virginia for that matter. Interloping, colonizing, land stealing, you know, Scots, Irish, and English. And I don't know what he meant by we're not like those people. I mean, I had my Latin. I got a lot of it at Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University.
And
exactly, where Joe Manchin bought his daughter's master's degree without her ever having to go to class. But having had that Latin, I always thought I knew. I always thought I knew what the state motto "Montani Semper Liberi" meant. Mountaineers simply hate the library. That's what that means. No, no. Supposedly it means mountaineers always free, because West Virginia entered the Union as a free state in 1863, June 20th, 1863, as a matter of fact. But to hear, you know, that business of, you know, but I'm not like that. I'm from West Virginia, and we're not like those people. Well, I guess Joe, who, I don't know, maybe he took a few, you know, he was a third string or fourth string or fifth string football player for the West Virginia University Mountaineers back in the late 60s. Granted, it wasn't the leather hat days, but, well, maybe he took a few too many blows to the head. I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, that was the day when, like, you'd have one bar across your face. That was like kickers and stuff. But because I think he's under the impression that Montani Semper Liberi means mountaineers are always jerks. At least in his case, that mountaineer is always, yeah. But just by way of explaining what's really going on here, because all of this shit is nothing but blue smoke and mirrors. It really is. Congratulations. Maybe you got my bandwidth, Scott, in San Diego. Who's Zooming who? Scott says, the AT&T tech just finished upgrading my internet from 25 Mbps to an astounding 585. That odd noise you hear is the sound of my hair being blown back. P.S., this internet speed upgrade is so damn fast it's making you sound like a chipmunk.
No, that was just Junior's voice.
So apparently I know where my bandwidth went. Thanks, Verizon. But Scott adds, in regard to Joe Manchin, if I ever develop an anal polyp, I think I'll name it Joe Manchin. Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone and the Central Standard Time Zone, I can assure you. I take solace, Stephen New York says, in realizing that Joe was never going to vote for Build Back Better. No, it was all just a big ritualistic stylized dance, as it were, wherein he played the Biden administration and their good faith attempts to get this law over the line. He played it for all it was worth, and did his thing where. He made it look like he was being, you know, coy and being courted. And, well, you know, if you would do it my way. And so they wrote a bill his way. And then, lo and behold, he said he still wouldn't support it. This is the definition of bad faith. But Steve's right. He was never going to support Build Back Better. He's never going to support something that means... an improvement in the lives of regular, ordinary, everyday West Virginians, because Manchins are not regular, ordinary, everyday West Virginians. And again, this is the only program where we say this. It would be vastly beneficial if the rest of the country could know this. Manchins never do anything that doesn't benefit someone named Manchin. Other corollaries... Manchins never vote for any Democrat whose name isn't Manchin. And Manchins never hurt anyone named Manchin. And it's that last one that I want to focus on. Because Build Back Better and Joe Manchin's opposition to it doesn't have a damned thing to do with child tax credit payments. It doesn't have anything to do with paid family leave.
You know, if they get that paid family leave, they'll just go on a hunting trip.
As Scott in San Diego says, yeah, but what if they're of necessity hunting for food? Still in the hills, Jed Clampett wouldn't stand a chance with Manchin in charge. I mean, he was already a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. He was out one day shooting at some food, and you know the rest, up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Well, when the crude come a bubbling, that's when Joe Manchin would have become Jed Clampett's friend. And that's kind of the crux of all of this. That is to say, and you know, tell your friends, I'm not wrong about this. I don't say things like that very often. I'm not wrong about this. But I am absolutely rock solid, lead pipe cinch certain of this. It had nothing to do with, his opposition had nothing to do with child tax credit payments, nothing to do with anything having to do with paid family leave or anything that would have otherwise benefited any working American family. Nothing. 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 Zip, zilch, nada, nothing. Nothing. Nihil. No. Because y'all know this, because you're part of this community, and you've been dealing with this for long and long, as we talked about him. One of the largest single components of Build Back Better was what? Climate change legislation. If efficiencies, getting away from things like coal-fired electricity, retrofitting coal-fired power plants and retiring them sooner rather than later because we're cooking ourselves right out of a habitable planet. I guess this is the part where I remind us all that Joe Manchin is a coal broker. He is the founder of a family business that buys coal and sells it to a captive coal-fired power plant in northern West Virginia, and he controls the coal that reaches the plant and the plant that buys the coal. And Joe is the middleman, and the front man, and the back man. And so, while they were playing ever so daintily and delicately with Joe Manchin, thinking somehow or another that he would come along and play nice, he was sitting there saying, "What, do I look stupid? I'm going to impoverish my family." Not impoverish, but please, you know. I mean, Jesus, if Joe was to let that, he might have to drive one of them electric cars. Or maybe even an American car. Or a non-European super sports car. Some people have said Maserati. I've also heard Porsche. I know it's white. But I'm not hearing a lot of mention of this, so I think it's important that we get it out there and get it said. Joe Manchin is killing Build Back Better because Build Back Better has climate change in it. And while it may perhaps be true that Joe, maybe he acknowledges that climate change is real now, it's kind of hard to say. He may acknowledge that now, but he damned sure is not going to do anything that acts as a detriment to anyone whose last name is Manchin. That's the long and the short of it. He doesn't care what happens to this planet in 50 years, or its ability to support human life, because he ain't going to be here. Now, he's got kids and grandkids, and maybe great-grandkids. They're going to have to deal with it, but it